I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Ask OTC, the show where we answer all of your questions from the week in European football. I'm Dotton Adebayo.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm David Cartledge.
Before we get into your questions for Ask OTC, we are just hearing the news that Paul Pogba has had his ban for testing positively for testosterone upheld, a ban of 4 years. And I'd like both of your thoughts on this one.
It's really sad. It's really sad.
That's the override feel, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sadness, I think, this.
Because I think, without getting into the weeds of how it happened, it's clear that he's been making an enormous effort to try and get back. He didn't go on holiday last summer to try and get himself fit to prove he could do it with Juventus all over again, when they would have been quite happy to see the back of him, because they're paying him a fortune. He's not playing, obviously, which is not his fault, but, you know, it's the financial reality of it. But in a way, David, it's felt like Pogba's career has almost been over for a couple of years, because the last couple of years have been so difficult for him on and off the pitch. Obviously, everyone knows the personal stuff that he's had to deal with, but also on the pitch, he's just struggled to be fit. And I just wonder if, like, when we look back at his career, will we see the 2018 World Cup as not just a high point, but almost the end?
Yeah, which makes it even more sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that debate, I think, in the next few days or weeks or so. You know, if you look at his actual, you know, CV, 10 club trophies, a World Cup, a Nations League as well, young player of the tournament at that very 2018 World Cup.
He was brilliant at the 18 World Cup.
He was astonishing. He really was. Played well beyond his years, I thought. He was almost playing in a vintage manner. Mm. He was Rolls Royce of a midfielder, the way that he moved. And yeah, I think we'll look at him as well. Like, just such a very interesting player, just in terms of to watch as well. We're talking about a big lad here, but my word, his grace that he played with was quite something.
Yeah, and I think because he was fated from such an early age, before the first spell at Manchester United, when he came through the very, very good academy at Love, I think because of that, his reputation almost overshadowed what he did on the pitch. Like, people expected something completely different from him than what he actually produced. And sometimes he wasn't always in the best situation to produce that. So I think you go back to say the key points for me are the 2015 Champions League final. He has a great 14-15 for Juventus. And then directly after the final, Juventus's midfield starts falling apart. you have like big players leaving, aging, moving on. So you think he was surrounded at one point by Pirlo, Marchisio, Arturo Vidal. And all of a sudden, after they've got to the Champions League final in 2015, which should be their building block onto the next stage, some of those guys go and it's like, right, okay, you have to lead the midfield now. And for the start of the next season, for the start of 15-16, he's like, whoa, okay, right, I have to lead this midfield of one of the best teams in Europe. And so Juventus get back to the Champions League final in 2017. By that point, obviously, Pogba's gone, because that is the second part, really. The fact that he makes the choice to go back to Manchester United, which it turns out is a really bad choice. Because, well, I think we could say with more recency bias that Manchester United have not been the best at developing players over the last couple of years. And this is a crucial stage in his career at which he needs to be developed. And part of that is the fact that they pay a world record fee for him and never build the team around him. They always go, can you fit in here? Can you fit in here? Can you fit in here? And whereas he comes with the fanfare, it feels to me that he's so capable in so many ways. He's an articulate bloke, speaks several languages, heart and soul in the dressing room. As David says, looks like an absolute prince on the ball.
Well, physically.
That as well. He looks like a man before he is a man.
I think a unicorn player.
Yes.
He's a unicorn almost. And
I think so much of that lends us to think that he's brilliant. He'll just sort it out. Just stick him in the team. He'll sort it out. Where has he had the guidance? Where has he had the encouragement? Where has he had people looking after him to properly develop it? You know, even someone like Leo Messi, for example, he needed Guardiola to come in at Barcelona and go, right, let's ditch Ronaldinho, let's ditch Deco, let's get rid of those negative influences. Let's, even after I've spent an absolute fortune, we've, as a club, have spent a fortune bringing in Zlatan, let's bin Zlatan so you are able to flourish in the position in which you wanted. Has Pogba had any of that? I'm not convinced.
No, I don't think so. And like you say, I think this is... And look, I mean, we're talking about Pogba at Man United here. Man United's still having those problems.
Yeah.
And Pogba's long gone. They still haven't found that structure. They still haven't found that unit that allows players the platform to succeed. I don't think he ever really had that at Man United. And yeah, there was a lot of criticism of him as well and what have you like that. But I think he was another one of those players who really suffered there. Yeah, it is. Honestly, I really can't get away from the feeling that this has been sad, considering how good, at his very best, he was. He was really, really special. And this might be it now.
Well, thank you both for that. This one from Morgs. What is Paulo Dybala's ceiling? And does he need to leave Roma to achieve it? Andy?
Well, I think this is a question that's posed very much in the light of Paulo Dybala's hat-trick for Roma against Torino on Monday. And when Dybala takes over a game like that, it's so easy to be convinced. When he's like that, he's up there amongst the best players in the world. You realise that, well, he's just not played more for Argentina because Messi's ahead of him. You know, he is someone who, if he could play like that for Roma every week, would make them top four contenders. And maybe if they could lock it down around him a little bit more. However, Nicky's talked about it on the show before, the fact that Roma are where they are, which is nearly but not quite in terms of Champions League, as we speak, with 4 points off, they're 4 points off a Champions League place. Part of that is because the players who they've got are excellent players with, in some cases, questionable fitness records. Him being the premier one of those. So when I talked about it on Twitter, just as it was happening, and so many people got in touch to say, oh, I wish Dybala played for my club, or oh, can Spurs have another run at Dybala this summer?
Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't, because when he's at his very best, he's exceptional, but he is basically made of glass. So what is his ceiling?
A glass ceiling.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Because you look at him, he's heading towards his 30s. I don't really think his ability to get fit, stay fit, is essentially going to change going forward. And that is why he's at Roma.
I think there was, it was mooted for quite some time that he might join Inter. And I think as interesting as that move would have been, you look at it now and just say, would he work if he went there? Would it, you know, would he elevate them? Would it fit for them, their style and what have you? Might be a bit too aggressive on his body, I think, potentially, the way that they play.
Yeah.
And he might have just found a nice home here in Roma, that he isn't playing, with all respect to Roma, considerable pressure in terms of what they are competing for, what competitions they are in and such. So this might be just like a nice level place for him. And look, he's like Andy said, he's 30-year-old, a lot of injuries as well. I think his ceiling has likely been hit. He's touched it. And he doesn't really need to go any further, I think.
It's like, turn up and be great when you can.
Yeah.
At Roma. Yeah. And we will love you for it. Whereas I'm not sure that is the case. I think if he produces what he's producing at Roma, at say Inter, for example, is the example that David made, they're like, well, is that it? Maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's different because they're expected to win. Whereas Roma look to him for leadership, where he would be expected to fit into a winning culture everywhere else. The idea of him turning up in the Premier League, his body just wouldn't stand
it's
up to it.
It's preposterous. Yeah, 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 yeah.
18 months left on his contract then. So are we concluding that his top flight career will end at Roma?
Maybe. I mean, I think just because another team shouldn't sign him doesn't mean another team won't sign him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Obviously. Because I think you look at the ability and you think, but what if we could get him fit? That's always the problem, I think. So, as I said, I think it would be a bad decision. Well, I agree with David. I think he's a perfect fit with Roma. If they get better and more robust players around him, which is not a given, obviously, with their financial restrictions. But interestingly, I think the way that they're moving towards a younger team, you know, so you look at the fact that, you know, they brought in Baldanzi, for example, who I think is there to basically take some of the physical pressure off Dybala so he doesn't have to play all the games. And maybe Baldanzi can develop into something. And if you get more willing runners about him. So we're looking more at Eduardo Boves than Renato Sanchez going forward, I think. Mm-hmm. If you have a more athletic team around him, I think that helps him. But I think that you're absolutely right, Don. There will be teams out there who think, oh yeah, we've just watched a highlights reel. He's one of the greatest. Let's get him. He'll be great for us. And, you know, your style, as David was saying, or your league, as I was saying, we'll break him.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This next question from Ian is a kind of whatever happened to the likely Union Berlin that we used to talk about all the time kind of question. Ian says, my brother-in-law is a huge Union Berlin fan. What's happened? I see that they're down in 14th this season, and after their Champions League success last season, how did they get to 14th?
Well, we're talking a lot about ceilings today, aren't we? This is another example of that, I think. Their promotion in 2019 was extraordinary in the first place, coming up to the top flight for the first time. That they, it's a testament to their organisation that they've not been in relegation trouble until this point, actually. And again, they're not like slap bang in the middle of it. They're not in serious danger. I think we talked in the main show about how that gap has developed between third bottom and the rest. They've just about got it together enough, particularly at home. Alte Försterei, they're very atmospheric, very unique stadium.
Well, you've told us about that over and over again.
I'm going to tell you about it again and again and again as well.
But that's indicative of the amount that we used to talk about Union Berlin.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think if you look at their home record, they've not lost at home since November now. They lost at home to Real Madrid in the Champions League, but that was at the Olympiastadion, and only to a last minute goal, I might underline as well. So I think their home form is going to see them out of this. I think the way they adapted to the top flight was amazing and showed what a structurally sound club they were, despite the fact they're a little unique and a little different. Having said that, moving from succeeding in the Bundesliga to having to deal with Champions League, wow, that is a lot. I think especially for a club like that, and it's been hard. You look at the way they've had to adapt in terms of playing those Champions League games in the Olympiastadion, and even though they sold out in double quick time, that was quite controversial, and a lot of fans felt that was a bit of an affront to the club and its personality. Then you've got actually playing those games. You've got the added expectation. You've got the fact that Bundesliga teams have worked out how they play completely now. And the fact, David, that they've brought in players from a different bracket that they wouldn't have brought in before. So you think Robin Gosens turns up there. Last game for Inter, Champions League final. Now all of a sudden he's in a relegation battle, as it turns out, with Union Berlin. But even if it wasn't a relegation battle, it's an adapting for him and it's adapting for the team as well. They're bringing Kevin Volland. They're bringing Luka Tusar, who partly due to injury has not really been that successful yet. Yeah. And it feels as if they're not quite Union anymore.
No, I think, you see, I just think they've reverted to the mean. I think they had a wonder year. Mm. Incredible achievement what they did. No one's ever going to take that away from them or forget that. They probably have got the club in a better position moving forward for years in terms of financial position. I just think they've reverted to the mean. They performed well above expectations last year, well above. One of the great stories. And I think it's as simple as that. And I think also when you're at recruitment, deviates to a different style of player, a type of player as well, because you realise you want to try and keep up those expectations. It can have drawbacks. As Andy's just stated, he stated those very drawbacks there. And I think they're just encountering that. But yeah, I still think they'll be safe. Mid-table finish is more than respectable for Union.
I guess the question is, what is acceptable for them going forward? Because they've raised expectation to a ridiculous level since 2019. Like beyond the wildest dreams of most of those supporters, as the supporters' banners have said this season. There was one banner at Köpenick which said, "You made dreams come true that we didn't even realise we had."
It's almost, I think it's like a Brentford or a Brighton situation in comparison.
That's a good line, isn't it? That is such a good line. I might pass that one on to my missus to write a love song, about me, obviously.
Yeah, with Eastern Berlin from love.
I'd compare it to a Brentford-Brighton situation. Mm-hmm. Just now they can focus on being a solid, stable Bundesliga club rather than yo-yoing between divisions.
But crucially, Urs Fischer left in November. Mm-hmm. And he said that's when the fortunes changed. Mm-hmm. Coincidental or not?
No, they had to do something. And it was, it's always sad when a coach loses his job. For them, it was so painful. Now, Nenad Bjelica, the replacement, I don't know how long he will last for, because earlier this year, for he got into that grapple, he basically attacked Leroy Sané, a Bayern on the touchline, and the club seriously thought of binning him. But everything ran quite well when he wasn't there. So you look at Marie-Louise Etta on the touchline, and the staff that they have a pretty solid Union people. So whether Bielitsa is there for the long term, I don't know. But it does feel, when you look at the staff they have, when you look at the people who run the club, you look at Oliver Rune, the sporting director, all of that feels that they have been able to withstand these really difficult moments. And like David, I think they'll be back on an even keel and, you know, challenging for the top eight next season.
Well, talking about dreams you never knew you had, Liam's question is, how much of a fairy tale story is Real Mallorca reaching the Copa del Rey final?
Yeah, it's a huge story. I think it's very much the cup version of what Girona are doing in the league. Mallorca, look, their season in the league has been below average, I'd say, sitting 16th in the table. But this was an astonishing triumph to beat one of La Liga's best sides in Real Sociedad. A Champions League side in Real Sociedad.
Did they play them at the right time, do you think?
I think so. I really, really do. Not taking anything away from Mallorca and the achievement there was, absolutely. Because Mallorca's had a lot of issues against them, for instance, Captain Rayo out for months as well. Other players being out. They lost one of, I'd say, their superstar player in Kang In Lee. So I think that's, you know, I think that's troubled them. But yeah, I mean, look, Javier Aguirre, their coach, one of the wiliest old foxes about, very old school, likes his whiskey before bed. That's how he said he's going to said how he's going to say. They said to him on TV after, how are you going to celebrate? He's like, I'm going to have a whiskey and then I'm going to bed. Brilliant stuff. But, yeah,
but Mallorca's like changed a lot in the last couple of years. Like Son Moix, the stadium has been redeveloped. A little bit like you were talking about Real Sociedad. They've kind of brought the stands in, particularly behind the goals, which I think will make a massive difference to the atmosphere. So Anoeta, Real Sociedad's stadium, they used to have a big running track that they never used. And they did major redevelopment. So now it's a bit more chocolate boxy, and it's affected the atmosphere there for the better, big time. So I think that makes a difference. And people don't realise, I think, with Mallorca, that I know you used to live in Mallorca, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And they've, it's a very particular culture there. I went to, in fact, I did an At the Match that you'll be able to find somewhere in the Stack archives about, I did the second leg of their playoff when they got promoted to the top flight. They were 2-0 down against Deportivo La Coruña and came back and beat them 3-0 in the return at Son Moix. And it's one of the most extraordinary atmospheres I've been in. People are so passionate there, aren't they?
Oh, they're remarkable about it. I think, you know, they've got a real edge about them. And look, Mallorca's had success in the past as well. You know, they were a real special club at one point in Spain. You know, you got to remember, it's where Samuel Eto'o made his name as well.
Yeah.
You know, and they had success in Europe. They had success in the Cup as well. And yeah, this is an incredible achievement, because if you look at where they've been the past few years as well, and then especially look at a character like Abdon Prats, who has been with the club since they were in Segunda B, which is essentially the third tier of Spanish football. Yet he's there playing a key part for this team as well, you know, a team that he loves. And he's just one of these characters who the level of media training and what have you in football is just insane these days, I think, from the players. But he's just so passionate. He's so natural with everything that he does and everything he says. And I just think, especially in the world of, I think, social media as well, a lot of players' accounts are handled by little minions in offices and players. And he drops this tweet which said, with tears down my face, seeing what happened a few hours ago, and this was just after the game, without being able to see the totality of the energy that you've spread to us where you are, I'm going to rest for a few hours before I return to our wonderful island. How lucky you are. Happy Wednesday, everyone. And I just love the honesty.
That's amazing.
Of that. It's just, it's brilliant, and it's missing sometimes. So this is a great story, yes.
It's called a nightcap, by the way.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
And I know that was the word you were looking for.
Once called a nightcap.
Yeah.
Incidentally, is there any connection when the underdogs are performing beyond expectation. You mentioned Girona in respect to this. Mm. Is it a coincidence that underdogs are doing well in the league and in the cup?
I just think a few of the bigger clubs are focused on other things or are also in precarious positions. And these clubs have taken advantage of that. Obviously, it's very, very difficult to win the league as well. So I always think in the cup, a lot of these small teams put on big showings and can shock because other teams are so focused on either the league or the Champions League. And Mallorca's gone through Girona as well to get to this final as well. They've gone through Girona and Real Sociedad. It hasn't been any easy path by any means. It can be, and like I say, they're 16th in the table. It's a nice welcome distraction from the league as well.
Maybe life by the sea is just better for you.
Of course it is. This is from Martin, staying with the life by the sea theme. Mm. How far do you think Benfica and Sporting can go in the Europa League this season?
I think they can go very far, actually. I think we're looking at two very good teams there. And, you know, you look at that league as well, where they are. And it's interesting to see no major superstars, I'd say, at any of these clubs now, at Porto, at Sport and at Benfica. You know, no natural...
Because they've sold them all.
Superstar.
See, Angel Di Maria is too meek to put his hand up.
One they can sell. I think he's got one, last move in him. And yeah, you can kind of see... And look, I always think when it comes to Europe as well, Portuguese clubs are unbelievably smart. Really, really smart the way that they approach games. And Miguel Arteta touched on this as well. And he was asked by a Portuguese journalist what he thinks of Portuguese team, Portuguese players, I think. And he said that they're very smart in how they approach games, especially in Europe. They're very seasoned. And you look at that Jose Mourinho influence, I think, when he had his success with Porto, and everything that happened with Portuguese football post that has been quite significant. And I think they're just a real proposition when it comes to Europe. So that's why I think they're going to be a really difficult team to face, Sporting or Benfica.
Yeah, if I had to pick one, I think I would go for Sporting.
I would as well.
Even though they've arguably got the more difficult tie. They're playing at Atalanta in the last 16 of the Europa League, and Benfica have got Rangers, which will be difficult in itself, of course. But I just feel with Benfica, we talked about Angel Di Maria there. I think they've probably got an attacking player too many in that lineup. It's a little bit open. The fact that Di Maria is a must pick, but so is Rafa, who's going to leave at the end of the season. Do you need two playmakers in a team? I mean, it's bloody great fun, but I'm not sure how much it helps you without the ball against good opposition. So that is the concern I'd have, even though Benfica have been much improved in recent weeks. And, you know, Rafa's numbers are unbelievable. But I think also David Neres coming back and looking the part after a long time out injured is important for them. With Sporting, not only do they have attacking depth, because you think for the last couple of weeks, Marcus Edwards hasn't always been starting because Trincao's come back and he's played very well. Victor Gyökeres is probably the best player in Portugal at the moment. But they just, and you know, talking about Kraft, Pedro Gonçalves is obviously the one from midfield. But I just think their defence is better as well. I think you look at Gonçalo Inácio, you look at Sebastián Coates, who's had his difficult
still
moments
around.
Sporting,
yeah,
but still there, you know, with that beard covering up just how old he is. I think if I was to pick one of them to have the edge, I would take Sporting for the Portuguese title and Sporting to go further in the Europa League.
And I think this is huge for Amorim as well, isn't it? You know, I mean, imagine what a final appearance could do for his status.
I mean, it's mad, isn't it? Seeing him like linked with the Liverpool job. I mean, to me, that feels like an enormous leap, and you'd prefer Xabi Alonso, but you know, Amorim deserves to be talked about seriously in linking with some very big jobs.
And I can't resist this, talking about the beard of Sebastián Coates. You younger listeners may not remember the great English player, Ralph Coates, who was somewhat...
bit before my time.
Who was somewhat follically challenged. I got it out in the end. Anyway, any other teams, by the way, that we should be thinking about from over that side?
Roma, good cup team.
I hit the side again with Andy here, but and be boring not pick somebody else. But Roma for me. Roma Brighton tie is going to be really interesting to see who goes through in that one. Mm. And then whoever goes through that one, I think could, you know, have it be like, oh, wow, we could actually go find this.
Bottom line is get Dybala in the oxygen tank.
Leave him alone. This from George. Football in the Basque country seems to be in a golden era. Athletic and Real Sociedad are having great seasons, and a lot of Europe's top coaches seem to come from there. What is so special about that region?
It's just in the water in that region. That football is everything, is life. They've got a very special approach to it and how it matters. The age that they start at, the teams that are all up there, the history they have, the number of players that are produced there, and the longevity that people have in the Basque Country as well, in terms of how long they stay there. Look at some of the players between Athletic and Real Sociedad right now, for example. This is not these aren't clubs that you have one good season at and then go and try and look for bigger things. You're happy to stay there. I'm talking about, you got Munain and Oyarzabal, both still at those clubs. They could have had bigger moves in the past. Of course they had as well.
Nico Williams could have gone last year.
Nico Williams could have gone there. Inaki Williams is still there. He's not been short of offers either. And there's numerous others as well. You know, Inigo Martinez, when he left Real Sociedad, he didn't go leave Spain. He caught the train to Bilbao and went there. So he was there in 20, 30 minutes. And it's interesting, I was told by somebody who worked with one of the clubs, I said, sometimes the players look upon it as a bit of a goldfish bowl, but in a good way, because life is so good for them there. They're big stars in the Basque Country, and that's what matters to them, and they're happy with that. And they don't go, oh, I don't want to chance it in a London or a Milan or a Munich or whatever it may be. I'm quite happy being a big fish here in this small, you know,
for
this,
cultural reasons, historical
reasons. I think for a lot of I think everything plays into it. I think for cultural reasons as well, the Basque people, very close unit, very family oriented, friends oriented. I think a lot more than other regions of Spain. People might disagree with that, of course, in other regions, but that's my take on it from being there. And I think there's something special in the air, in the water there, that makes them feel very proud and loyal to their area that they want to stay there. And it's fantastic as well to see all these coaches come through together. We've got two. You got Mikel Arteta and Andoni Iraola, both in the Premier League right now as well. Mm. You know, coming from the same region, both really exciting young coaches as well.
The interesting thing to me is because Real Sociedad have always sort of been the little brother, and they've always complained about Athletic, who are always talking about the fact that we only sign Basque players. And Real Sociedad's point of view is, well, that's because you nick all of ours and of all the other clubs in the region. So, like for example, if you go back to like 1989, they were the first club, Real Sociedad, to take a non-Basque player.
Do you know who that was?
John Aldridge.
Yeah, you go.
So, what they did is, at the time, they would bring in foreigners, but they wouldn't bring in non-Basque Spaniards. And so it's a little bit more blurred, the line, whereas Athletic are always like, to the world, well, we only take Basque players. It's different for us. I mean, they have bent those rules a little bit.
They have bent the borderlines a little bit.
They have.
So there's some interesting players who have come through, and there used to be very strict rules on what that consists of, the rule and what have you, and they've stretched that a little bit. But, I mean, Griezmann is an interesting one. You know, Griezmann's somebody who could have actually played for Athletic because of where he was brought up in the French Basque Country. Wow. And, of course, can't forget the absolutely brilliant, legendary Bixente Lizarazu. Played for Athletic Bilbao, but of course played for France.
Oh, that was amazing when he grew up obviously in the French Basque Country, and they asked him in his press conference when he signed for Athletic, how do you feel about being like the first foreign player? And he said, I'm not foreign, I'm Basque. what are you talking about? But I think the interesting thing now is, given the traditional roles of those clubs and the sort of Basque Country hierarchy, is the fact that now, having sort of gone around the houses and looked at different ways to try and compete with Athletic, Real Sociedad now are a team full of youth products. And they are coached by a guy, Imanol, who actually I really struggle to imagine coaching another team, not just because of that connection in the Basque Country, but basically he's a youth coach managing those youth products in the first team.
So he's been with a few of those players before at other levels of that club. Look at Xabi Alonso, he's at Bayer Leverkusen now, of course, famous Real Sociedad player. Where did he first start coaching? When he started coaching, where did he go? He was coaching Real Sociedad's B team. And that's where he learned, you know, youth football is a big part of this as well. There's a pathway to first teams, Athletic and Real Sociedad. If you're a young player in that region, you know you're going to have a lot of care, a lot of pathway there to the first team and get a chance to play.
Of course, we're more concerned about where he's off to next.
Yeah.
And well done, Brassel, University of Liverpool's Brassel, for answering the question correctly about John Aldridge. Very well done, I thought.
Some people slip up there, so I just wanted to check.
You did well.
I can't believe the Northeast Kevin Richardson didn't get a mention.
I like the way you said Northeast rather than Geordie. Well done. Thank you for listening to Ask OTC. If you would like to ask a question, you can contact us at any time at Radio Dotton, at Andy Brassel, at David Jacker, or at OTC Pod. And you can email us otc@footballramble.com.
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.